Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama taslima kathira. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, this ayat of the Quran Sharif is something that we all have to keep before us at all times. Of course, all the ayats of the Quran Sharif we have to apply in our lives. There are certain ayat which may not be applicable as far as the hukam is concerned. For example, zakat, if a person does not have that amount of money which we term as the nisab, then that ayat of the Quran Sharif will not really apply to him because he doesn't have that amount of money to give zakat or to go for hajj. If the person doesn't have that amount of money, then we will say that that ayat of the Quran Sharif is not applicable to him to fulfill. But to believe in it as the ayat of the Quran Sharif and as the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is farz. And that is part of iman. If he does not believe in that ayat as the ayat revealed by Allah Ta'ala to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will say that he is kharij, he is out of the pale of Islam. But this verse of the Quran Sharif, each and every one of us, it is applicable. Because we are sinful servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, therefore it will apply to each and every one of us. Nobody in the world can claim that he is pure and clean from all sins. There are many sins which ulama will not commit. They may not go to the cinemas, they won't go to the theatres, they won't go and commit zina. But there will be sins like ghibat, there will be sins of other kind, or sometimes sins of the heart, pride, greed, malice. Now this can apply to anybody. So whether the person is an alim, or whether he is a mufti, or whether he is a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, or whether he is a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer or a philosopher or a scientist, whosoever it may be, if he is a Muslim, then somewhere along the line the person may err, he may make a mistake, he may commit a sin. And especially in our times, we know that all around the environment invites us towards sins. But since these majlises, I have repeatedly said, are for the purpose of Islah, it is not for an increase in our knowledge. If by the way there is some increase, alhamdulillah, but it is really to make sincere tawbah from our sins and to return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to connect ourselves very firmly, to have such a bond with him, as we always say, that nafs and shaitan must not distance us from him. That kind of bond we must have with Allah Ta'ala. That kind of bond we must have with Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That we must become restless the moment we commit any kind of sin. Now, unfortunately, this is not our case. At present, we know that many of us, we are persistent in our sins. And it doesn't even create any kind of problem for us. It is as if one fly was sitting on our forehead and we just moved it away with the left hand. That's what we think of sins as. Whereas those people who have got iman, those who have got that bond with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then to them it is as if huge pythons have wrapped themselves around the person's neck. That is what the person will think when he has got committed sins. And he will not be satisfied until they have been removed. he will try to save his life. So this is the difference between us and those who really have that connection and that bond with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed, Shaitan was very, very disturbed. He began to throw dust over himself and began to scream and cry and wail, because in it was a glad tiding for the believers. In this verse was a glad tiding for the believers of the forgiveness of their sins. So it must cause him disturbance. It must make him restless. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. It is the sign, or it is an attribute of those who are muttaqi. Because Allah ta'ala earlier on says, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. He's talking about Jannat. And what are the sifats of those people for whom Jannat has been prepared? The sifat is that they have got taqwa. And now who are the muttaqeen? In different verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gives different attributes and sifat. But here he says one of the things is that these people, when they commit an indecent act, and the meaning of that fahisha as given in Bayanul Quran is this, that when they commit an act which has caused harm to another person, when they do anything, any action which has caused harm to someone else, there are two kinds of sins, huququllah and huququl ibad. Now here we are talking about huququl ibad, that the person has done something which has caused harm to someone else. That is what fahisha means here. Otherwise it has other meanings too. The shameless action, the indulging. But here it means that the person has committed a sin which has harmed somebody else. Now we understand by that, that if the person has snatched somebody's property, the person has sworn at someone, the person has hurt and injured someone, he has punched someone, he has shot someone, or he has caused an obstruction for someone, the person has harmed another person by not paying what was his due, or he has taken away his property or something which was not legally belonging to this person by way of inheritance. It was not rightfully belonging to him. There was share in it for the others, but because he was in charge, he grabbed everything. So whatever it may be, anything that has caused harm to another person, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they have done injustice upon themselves. So the one sin is where the person has harmed someone else, and the other one is harmed himself. He has done injustice to himself. The injustice to oneself, we get this in many places in the Quran Sharif, that this person who is committing sins, the person who is disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is not harming Allah. He is not doing injustice to anyone else but himself. So whether he has done injustice to himself or he has done injustice to somebody else, immediately what do they do? Zakarullah. They remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Immediately before them comes the thought of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. By way of temptation, the person probably fell into that trap and committed that sin. But straight away, Zakarullah. And then what do they do? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Now they begin seeking forgiveness for that sin that they have committed, fulfilling the rites of seeking that forgiveness. Now this is something that has to be repeated, and we will go on repeating. That now what it will mean is that if it is some injury or pain or suffering or harm or destruction that has been caused to somebody else, then this person will make sure that that right of that person is fulfilled. Whatever that right may be, it is fulfilled. He will go out of his way to either seek forgiveness from that person or pay him whatever is due to him, or ask for some terms for payment. Or if he doesn't have anything, then he will keep on making the effort that during his lifetime he is able to pay. And if it was an injury caused by swearing at that person or false accusation or slander, then he goes and asks that person for forgiveness. He says, I'm sorry, I made this stupid mistake. I did not realize it at that time, but I have caused injury and harm to no one else but myself, so forgive me. So if it is the rights of others, then he seeks forgiveness. And if it is the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, where we say that he has harmed himself, so there he tries to fulfill those hukams of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. And also the person makes sincere tawbah now over all those sins of the heart, whatever he was carrying in his heart of malice and of greed and of pride. So this person makes sincere tawbah, asks Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. He remembers Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately. In other words, a Muslim is one who x-rays every action of his. He does not take everything for granted. Whatever he has done, then immediately he thinks, in fact he should be thinking before undertaking the action, that is my Allah pleased with this or not? Is my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala happy with this action of mine, or is he displeased with it? But if accidentally he committed the sin, so now he immediately makes plenty of istighfar. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ They seek forgiveness for their sins. And Allah ta'ala says that who is it that forgives sins except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Who else can forgive sins except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala is there to forgive the sin. And then the main thing is that وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ And they are not obstinate. They do not persist. They are not persistent. They do not go on sinning after having committed that sin. Now they do not just go on sinning. They are making istighfar and tawbah, so now they must resist. They must stay away. They must not go close to that sin again. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ They must run towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They know that this is something that caused them harm earlier on. So now when that same kind of situation arises again, so the person does not go close to that sin, he runs away from there. The person knows which things led him to temptation. What are those things that tempted him to commit sin and got him caught in a trap? So why must he go close to that all the time? Even little children, if they are accidentally burnt, the heater is on and the child put his hand on the heater and got burnt, even that little child stands at a distance and makes ha. We have seen with our own eyes, because one time the child got burnt, so now the child knows that that is the place that you should not put your hand on. It's just a 3-4 year old child, but the child knows that now he must not touch that heater again. So in the same way, that sin into which this person was trapped, now he knows what were those situations or what were those things that tempted him into it. Whether it was the reading of those articles in the newspapers which led him to that, or whether it was watching of the television, or whether it was seclusion with that secretary in the office, or whether it was seclusion with some other woman, or it was the gazing of women on the streets, whatever it was. Now he knows that these are the things that trapped me into this situation. So now when he is going, he must be on guard. He must not purposely go towards those sins. Because sin is something that a Muslim commits accidentally. Repeatedly I have said this. So he is not persistent. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُ But if the person at the time of his tawbah, he had no intention of returning to that sin, then according to one hadith of Tirmizi Sharif, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that, then that person is not persistent. The person who at the time of Tawbah had no intention of going back to that sin, and he was making Tawbah and Istighfar from that sin. In other words, he was unhappy, he was ashamed, he was disgusted at himself, that how could I have committed this kind of sin? So then this person, even if he committed that sin 70 times, he will not be considered as a person who is persistent. Now look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal and mercy upon us, that he is giving us so much of grace. It means that Allah ta'ala wants us to get back to him. He wants us to turn towards him. He wants to give us something. Allah ta'ala wants to give us something. All he wants from us is to say, I am sorry. This father tells the son, I want to give you this car. But just tell me, I'm sorry that I back answered you, or I was disobedient to you yesterday, or I did this or did that. So now it shows that the father wants to give, all the son has to say, I'm sorry. If the father didn't want to give, then why must he tell that son? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, قُرْ رَبِّ اِخْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ. Say, O my Rabb, اِخْفِرْ, forgive me and have mercy upon me. Now why did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tell his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that say, اِخْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ. Now Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, there was no question of any kind of sin. But for us, the Ummatis, what a beautiful thing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif. Let's say, Rabbi Ighfir Warham, and again, Rabb. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says you must use the word Rabb, that He is the one who is your sustainer. He is the one who is nurturing you. He is the one who from the time of conception up till now and until death, and even after that, He is going to take you along the route. He is the one who is blessing with all those ni'mats. So if He is so concerned that He is giving you so much of things, then you think He is not going to forgive you if you turn towards Him with sincerity. So this word that zakarullah, that they remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, immediately they think of Allah ta'ala. So in tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he has given different tafsirs of what this means, zakarullah. One thing that he mentions there is that zakarullah here means that tazakkaru haqqahul azim wa wa'idahu. They immediately think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness and the haqq of that greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the warnings that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given if the person is not going to recognize his greatness. The azmat haqq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is this, that the person does not commit sins. It is the haqq of the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. His greatness demands that we do not go towards sins. If a person is persistent in his sins, it shows that he does not recognize his Allah Ta'ala. If only he recognized his Allah, that what power he has, what qudrat he has, how he can seize, how he can make the life of a person very narrowed and straightened and tightened, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can make the life of a person miserable, how Allah ta'ala can draw the carpet from beneath the feet of the person who is indulging in sins because of his wealth, or he can take away that knowledge on which the person is very proud of and is committing sins because he's got intelligence. Now this intelligence, instead of using it for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala and using it so that he may for worldly purposes which may be beneficial and for the akhirat, now he is using this intelligence of his in all haram things. So the person thinks that Allah Ta'ala's azmat and greatness is such that he can snatch away that intelligence if he wishes to. The wealth, he can take it away. The health, he can take it away. There was a khatam of the Quran Jalsa the other night here. We had those two students completing, and the grandfather of those two students was also here. And I mentioned in that majlis that we must make tawbah quickly, because we do not know when that will come, how it will come, where it will come. And many people say that we are not yet ready for tawbah. Then we ask them one simple question, that when will you get ready, after death or before death? I mentioned that in that majlis. That when will the person get ready, after death? Because many people, they say, we are still not ready, we are still young. So these days there's no question of young and old. So we ask them that when will you get ready, before death or after death? So the answer is going to be that before death we have to get ready. So then when will that death come, does anybody know? Now that grandfather, he was here in the Jalsa, fit, healthy, mashallah. I met him and he said that I'm going to Karachi, from there I will be going for Umrah, and inshallah I will be returning from there on a certain date. So he made Mu'anaqa, embraced, and he left. He arrives as Karachi, and the same day he passes away in Karachi. Now look where the death of the person took him. But a very fortunate person that his niyat was from there, Umrah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala till the day of Qiyamah will keep on giving him inshallah one Umrah sawab. But the lesson that he left behind for us is that the person does not know where and when and how he is going to die. So how much we must be on guard, how ready we must be for death. The thought must come immediately when the person is tempted to commit a sin. The thought must come immediately in his mind that this must not be the last moments of my life, because I do not know. The person is healthy and is suddenly gone. There are no signs also sometimes. Accidents can take the person away. So the person must be ever ready. We must never think that I still have got a long way to go. So many people are committing zina in the hotel rooms. So many. Students from schools, from colleges, even Muslim schools. At such a time, when the iman also is not in the person's body. La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. When the person is committing zina, he is not even a mu'min at that time, according to this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His iman leaves his body. Now imagine if death comes in that state. So they think of the haq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azmat, his greatness, that anything can happen at that moment. The person's life can be taken away, and Allah ta'ala can make that person a real ibrat for the ummat. And hasn't it happened? How many times it has happened? How many times it has happened? Young people, they think that we are taking a drive and nobody is watching us, and it's a couple who are not married, and they go and park somewhere, and next thing somebody comes and shoots the driver or shoots the girl that is with him, and that's the end. How many times that has happened? So how can a person be confident? How can the person be comfortable in sins? If he is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he just cannot be comfortable in sins. These majlises are for this one purpose, that is to get rid of sins from our lives and then see what kind of connection Allah ta'ala gives us. What kind of halawat of iman he gives into our hearts. What kind of sweetness we will enjoy, and what kind of experiences then we will have. Of course, we must not do it for those experiences and for all that. We must do it because it is Allah ta'ala's hukam. Finished. He is my beloved and it is his hukam. I must fulfill it. But that beloved won't forget us after that. So that is the first thing that they think of. So that zakarullah, tazakkaru haqqahu al-azim wa wa'idahu. Zakarul arda alayhi. And the second thing is that they immediately think that we will have to one day be present ourselves before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There will be a day of judgment. There is qiyamah, and we are going to stand before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The person who feared standing before Allah and he restrained himself from his evil desires, then Jannat is his abode. So this presentation before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is going to come. So zakarullah, when they commit some sin, where they have done injustice upon themselves or they have harmed someone else, then immediately they think of this day on which they will be presenting themselves before Allah ta'ala.
Mu dikhana hai tusko ek din.
We have to show Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala our face one day. It's not that Allah is not watching us now and we'll only show him our face on the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala has got everything before his sight. But that will be the day of true, real judgment. In this world, the believers, the disbelievers, the sinful ones and the good ones, the bad ones and the good ones, everyone enjoys the sunlight, the beautiful breeze, enjoys the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends down. Because if Allah Ta'ala had that system that only the good can enjoy the ni'mats and the evil ones cannot, then everybody will become a believer in Allah Ta'ala. Then where will there be ghaib? Iman bil ghaib we will not have after that. Now it will be iman over that which we are seeing with our eyes. Allah Ta'ala wants us to have iman bil ghaib. So in this world there is no separation. Everyone enjoys it. But on the day of Qiyamah then we know, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole night he spent reading this ayat, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Now which jurm did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam commit? My Nabi stands whole night, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And not one night we can stand for even half an hour reading this verse of the Quran Sharif, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. It doesn't shake our heart at all. Doesn't create any kind of fear in our hearts. And that masoom, sinless Nabi, who had absolutely no sin on him, who was the mahbub of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but whole night he's standing, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمُ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Separate today, Allah ta'ala will separate those, tell them, separate those who are committing sins, those who are the mujrimeen. Now today you must separate from those who had believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is what they do, tazakkaru. Immediately they remember these people, they remember what? They remember that they are going to present themselves, they have to stand before Allah ta'ala, they have to answer for all the doings before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Zakaru sawalahu ani zambi yawm al-qiyamah. They think immediately that we will be questioned with regards to these sins on the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah may be far away, but when the person dies, his Qiyamah has commenced. As soon as a person dies, his Qiyamah has started. Which Qiyamah is he waiting for after that? Again the same thing, when that death will come, when his Qiyamah will start, nobody knows. So if he commits some sin, then immediately he thinks that there is a day of Qiyamah. And on that day, I have to answer for this sin that I have committed. I can get away in this world. Lots of people think that we have got away. And they are very proud about it. They brag about it sometimes. Oh, we got away. When the thief or the burglar steal, and they have a vehicle ready, and they jump in and they disappear, and the police does not get them, then there's a smile on their faces. They are happy. Why they are happy? They escaped the police. Now for them it may be happiness, because they don't believe in an akhirah, they don't believe in day of judgment, they don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, they do not believe in day of Qiyamah. But for a Muslim to believe that he has escaped, then it is a sifat of the kuffar. That if the Muslim believes that he got away and nobody saw him, and so now that there's going to be no sawal jawab, and he has escaped the sight of the police or people, so he is successful. So then that is now a sifat, a sign of those who are disbelievers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because they believe that we got away. A Muslim doesn't believe that he got away. There's no question of a Muslim believing that he got away. Now all these things that I am saying, these are the things that if we are going to remember, then from our society, stealing, fraud, adultery, and all other sins, causing harm to people, snatching away their properties, swearing, cursing, false oaths and qasams, forgery, all these things will then automatically disappear. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he brought this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this was its beauty, that it didn't require a police force. The police force, we can see how corrupt the police force is. And I keep saying that we will need the police to police the police, and then we'll need another police to police that police. So it will be a non-ending thing, endless. How many different teams you are going to appoint for investigation? That team itself will be corrupt. Then you have to appoint another one now to investigate this team. Until there is no iman in the heart and there is no belief in Allah Ta'ala's existence, that he is watching, he is hearing, he is seeing, he knows everything, and there is a day of judgment. Until we do not believe in this day of judgment, and not knowledge of day of judgment, true and sincere belief that there is a day of judgment, and that Allah Ta'ala is watching every move of ours and every action of ours. But we know that even in this world, the police say we were trailing him for 1 year, we were trailing them for 6 months, we were trailing them for a long time before we pounced on them. That is what they do. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also gives us a chance, He gives us a rope, He gives us time, so that we may repent, so that we may turn towards Him. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to pounce upon us. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to condemn us to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala wants us to be successful in this world, in the Akhirat. So therefore He gives us so much of opportunities that return to me, return to me. Hazrat Murana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, again that beautiful couplet comes to mind, that where he said, Ghalib had said, Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge Ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge Ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. He said, oh Ghalib, how are you going to go to the Kaaba Sharif? Don't you feel ashamed going to the Kaaba Sharif? That with these eyes you have seen so much of haram, with these ears you have listened to so much of haram, with these tongues you have spoken so much of haram, these hands and feet have gone towards so much of haram. That's what the me, I'm just giving the meaning, it doesn't mean he did it. So he says that, how aren't you ashamed, how are you going to go to the Kaaba Sharif? So Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, isme Ghalib ne mayus kar diya, gunegar ko mayus kar diya. That he has made the person who is sinful despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in this poetry of his. Because the person will say, now I have committed a lot of sins, how am I going to go there then? Kis muh se tum jaoge? So he says that I have changed that now. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. रो रो के मैं उनको मनाऊंगा अपनी बिगड़ी में यूं बनाऊंगा रो रो के मैं उनको मनाऊंगा रो रो के मैं उनको मनाऊंगा अपनी बिगड़ी यूं बनाऊंगा आई विल गो विद माय सेम फेस टू द काबा शरीफ इफ आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू गो एंड देन व्हाट I will go with the same face. I know that I have committed sins. I know that my eyes have erred. I know my ears have listened to a lot of wrong things. My tongue has spoken a lot of wrong things. But I will not despair. I will go. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Because what is true sharm? What is real haya? What is real shame? Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he has said, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءَ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْسُ نَحَاكَ. The haqiqat of haya and shame is that your Mawla must not see you in those places which He has forbidden you to be. Wow. That is the haqiqat of haya. That our beloved Allah must not see us in those places that He does not want us to be. That is where we must feel shame. The real shame is that our Allah must not see us in those places. Not what we term as shame. So he says, sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. But then, I will not go there and just enjoy the scenery. I will not go there just do shopping. I will not go there and, as a tourist goes and see a few places and return. He says, I know that I am a sinful one. My feet are not worthy of walking on that ground on which my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked. The park, Mubarak feet of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ground on which he walked, I know my dirty feet are not deserving of walking on that ground. But then, ro ro ke me unko manaunga. I will have the multazam there for myself. I will have the Muqam Ibrahim. I will have the Hatim. I will have the Mizab Rahmat. I will have the Mataf. I will have the Safa and Marwa. And if it's Hajj, it will be Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifah. All these places I will tear, I will cry, I will weep, and I will make my Allah happy. With these tears of shame and nadamat, I will make my Allah happy. And this is how I will improve my life. This is how I will change my life. This is how I will change those conditions which would have befallen me if I continued committing sins. Because if I continued in that pattern, carried on with my sins, then azab of Allah would have come upon me. So now I will go there and I will tear, I will cry, I will ask Allah for forgiveness, and I will change that condition. I'll make my Allah happy. So now Allah Ta'ala will send down conditions of happiness. Allah Ta'ala will change the adversity to that of prosperity. Allah Ta'ala will now give, within the heart, Allah Ta'ala will now give sukoon, tranquility, peace. Allah Ta'ala will give serenity. Allah Ta'ala will give joy. Allah Ta'ala will give such a kind of garden which the people of the world do not know. Such kind of diamonds Allah Ta'ala will put into those hearts which the kings haven't seen in their lives. Allah Ta'ala will give all that if I'm going to go there and I'm going to tear and I'm going to cry and I'm going to make my Allah pleased and happy. So he says, Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga, ro ro ke mein unko manaunga, apni bigdi ko yun banaunga. So he says that they remember the sawal on the day of Qiyamah with regards to this sin. Now the person remembers, doesn't mean he just remembers that there will be a day of Qiyamah and on which day there will be some questioning about the sins. That doesn't mean remembrance. Remembrance means that now it turns his condition, it changes his condition, it brings a hal in the person. After listening to something now, or after remembering that, now it makes it his hal, that it restrains him now, that he accidentally committed it, but now he has made up his mind that he will never go back to that sin. He takes a few steps in rectifying. He doesn't just go on and on, that the moment he walks out from the majlis, the moment he walks out from the masjid, or the moment he walks out from some taleem or some program, then straight away back onto the television, back onto those filthy magazines, back to the casinos, back to everything that was he was indulging in, back to that same woman that is going to perish, then turn to dust one day, or is going to get old, and there will be no beauty left. Or for the woman, that man, one day he is going to become weak and feeble, and his back will bend, and there will be no handsomeness left on him. So the person does not carry on. He immediately thinks and gives it up. The person makes up his mind that I don't want to go back. Because which other way will then we get this coolness in our hearts? Which other way is there? If we are going to carry on, then how do we expect? So many people say that we just can't give it up. We try, but we just can't give it up. There's no question of trying, but can't give it up. I was addicted to chocolates and sweets and biscuits and all these type of things containing sugar. I was addicted. I couldn't do without it. But wallah, I do not know how Allah Ta'ala gave me sabr. The moment I was told that the sugar is very high, it just went off my mind. It's only Allah Ta'ala's fazl and ihsan. Otherwise I was just wondering, how will I ever avoid these things? So if a person wants to give up something, it's not difficult. Thing is, you must make up your mind. So just as for our physical health, we are prepared to go to extremes, and we are prepared to give up those things which were delicious, those things which were our beloved items of food and drink, just for physical health, which of course is a hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that we must maintain these engines in good condition. Because if we are not, then Allah Ta'ala is going to question us on the day of Qiyamah, that why did you abuse that body that I gave to you? Because if the person is in health, then he can make namaz, he can make zikr, he can make tilawat, he can go and earn a livelihood. But if he has caused damage to his health due to his own actions, so then it is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will question that person about it. So for physical health, which as I say, it is important that we must try and maintain that. But the point here is that for physical health, we are prepared to go to any length. What did the doctor say? What did he prescribe? Did you keep to the diet that he prescribed? We are so concerned. The husband is concerned that his wife must keep to that. The wife is concerned, the husband must be particular. Children are concerned, parents are concerned, that whatever the doctor said, let's make sure that the children are given that medication on time. So for the physical health, that body which we know that one day it is going to turn to dust, but we are prepared to go to any length, then what about the spiritual side? And that prescription for the spiritual body which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given, why don't we ask that, am I abiding by that prescription? The prescription that Allah Ta'ala Himself has given in the Quran Sharif, or those prescriptions which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given in the Hadith Sharif, how many of us we will say that if you are going to steal, then this is the damage that it is going to cause to your spiritual health. If you are going to speak lies, then this is the damage that is going to cause to your spiritual health. If you are going to gamble, then this is the damage that it is going to cause to your spiritual health. Therefore, restrain yourself, stay away from it, so that you may maintain your spiritual health in good condition. How many of us are really concerned about those prescriptions? Because that is something that in the qabr too, it will help us. It will help us in the akhirat. And if not, then it's going to harm us in the qabr, harm us in this life, and harm us even in the akhirat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, He wants us to be in good health, both physical and spiritual. So these people, they think of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's questioning with regards to the sin on the day of Qiyamah. That is what they mean, Zakarullah. Then they think of the prohibitions of Allah, Zakaru Nahyahu. That whatever Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, immediately they think. That when they are committing a sin, or when they have committed a sin, then they think of Allah Ta'ala. That means they immediately think that this is something which I have done, which my Allah has prohibited, which my Allah has forbidden. Then how can I do that? Because my Allah has forbidden it. He has declared it as haram, or Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared it as haram. So how can I do that? But then they do not lose hope, because we are human beings, we are bound to make mistakes, we are bound to err. So therefore he says that Zakaru Ghufranahu. They think of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's maghfirat also. That means when they have committed the sin, then Zakarullah, Zakaru Ghufranahu. They think that my Allah is a forgiving Allah. He is a merciful Allah. He is very compassionate. He dearly loves forgiveness of sins. All He requires is that they must be genuine, sincere seeking of this forgiveness. Because if a sewer rat has to go into the gutter line, then that is its habit, and that is the place for that sewer rat. That it will go into all those gutter lines and dirty places. But Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says that if the falcon which sits on the shoulder of the king, seeing that dirty rat going into that gutter line, also says, no, I must also follow that rat into that sewer, then what would you think of that? He says the mizaj of that sewer rat is that, but the mizaj of the falcon is to fly high. The ummati's mizaj is that he flies high. He wants to soar in the air. He wants to get the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not want to remain on the ground all the time. He does not want to even go into all those dirty lines. He wants to rise above that. He is an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah ta'ala has given him that power to soar. He can be on the farsh here, but his heart can be on the arsh. Just jokingly I said to some friends the other day, there was one letter. He said, Maulana, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make you make tawaf of the arsh all the time. So I said, MashaAllah, the dua is very nice. He wants me to make tawaf of the arsh all the time. But I said, if I will keep on making tawaf of the arsh there, then what will the people do here on the farsh? Where will they search for me then? If I'm going to remain there all the time, 24 hours, so then the people will start searching for me, where will they find me? But that was just by light-hearted. Otherwise, in reality, we can be on the farsh here. We can be here on the ground, but our heart can be there. As Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, that he was sitting next to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and as Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was giving a bayan, there was a nasihat, And then suddenly he kept quiet. There was silence. So Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Zafar Rahmatullah Alayh, he brought his head close to the ears of Hazrat Maulana Qiyumuddin Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatum, and he said, Is waq Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahab yaha nahi hai. He said, at this moment now he's not here. Because the moment he came back to his senses, or he came back on the ground, spiritually, then he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now where did he go that he came back and made salam? So his body was here, physically he was here. Allah Ta'ala has given our hearts that kind of power. It has if man can make aeroplanes and spaceships that can fly so high in the air, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given mu'min that heart that can fly high. But then there's special fuel that's required for those planes to fly so high. In the same way, we too must put that kind of fuel into our heart and then see where it takes us. Zakaru jamalahu fastahyu. They think of the jamal and the beauty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and they feel ashamed. That why did we turn towards ghairullah? What was there that was lacking? What was the deficiency in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beauty and glory that we had to turn towards ghairullah, give our hearts to those faces? What was lacking in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Again, that example of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, that he was sitting and one woman came and she said that, Junaid, if only Allah Ta'ala had made it permissible for me to show you my face, then I would have removed this veil and shown you what a pretty woman I am. But in spite of that, my husband now wants to marry another woman. So she came with that complaint. So Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh went, ah, and he collapsed. Now she got the fright of her life. What did she say that he collapsed? And she disappeared from there. Afterwards, people asked him, Shaykh, what happened? She didn't say anything so serious. All she said that if I only remove this veil and you see my face, then you will say that you will see how pretty a woman I am. So what made my husband go and look at another face? So he said, well, when she said that, immediately my mind went on to my Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say that, oh my banda, oh my servant, oh my slave, what deficiency was there in my beauty that you turned your face towards ghairullah? What made you go towards those sins? What made you go and enjoy those sins when I was the one that you could have cast your glance on and enjoyed the beauty and the ni'mats in your heart? Then why did you turn towards ghairullah? Why did you go and start worshipping those idols? And it's not only the idols of stone that we know of. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So our evil desires are also idols. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also make us amongst those people who, when they have committed some kind of sin, then zakarullah. And the sifats of those muttaqeen, which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, and those who remember Allah, and what does that mean, which I have just very briefly discussed. Otherwise, each one we can go on. Allah Ta'ala must make that the condition of our lives. It must become a hal, it must become a condition. It must become our attribute, it must become our sifats. It must not be just in the realm of knowledge. Knowledge today, there's an explosion. On the internet, books, magazines, everywhere there's any amount. Even a person who does not know one word of the Quran Sharif, he too can put on a few buttons on the internet and he can get tafsir and he can get hadith and he can get fiqh and he can get everything. But then that person can still be a person who does not even have namaz in his life, no zakat in his life, no roza in his life, no haya and shame in his life, but he's got plenty of knowledge through that. So knowledge is one thing, and the amal on that knowledge is a different thing. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na haj. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na haj. To khushi iski phir kya hai, ke koi gent hai, to koi judge. He says there's no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. So phir khushi iski kya hai? If you say this is a gentleman, this is a judge, this is a philosopher, this is a scientist, this is a cabinet minister, this is a prime minister, this is a king. What khushi is there if that person has not a mu'min and he hasn't got the amal in his life? But if that person is a believer in Allah Ta'ala and he's got namaz, roza, zakat, he's got amal, he's got akhlaq, he's got character, and then he's a doctor, he's a philosopher, he's a teacher, or he's a cabinet minister, or he's a king, then alhamdulillah, then it gives us great happiness that an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has become the king and the ruler of a certain country. But if he hasn't got that, then it is nothing. So let us not wait for the times to change. We have to make the change now. Some people say that when this will come right, when I will be over with this, when that will come right, then I will make the change. He says the change will come, but first I just want to get my daughter married. First I just want to finish up with my sons. You know, stuff. As soon as he's finished with his college studies and all that, then I will. Now, if you're going to keep waiting like that, so again, and I conclude on this, Judge Akbar Allahabadi, he said very beautiful things. He was humorous, but he said a lot of things which gave a lot of lessons. Molna, unhone kaha, the cake ki fikr mein to roti bhi gayi. He calls it cake, which means cake. The cake ki fikr mein to roti bhi gayi. Chahi thi badi, so choti bhi gayi. Chahi thi badi, so choti bhi gayi. He was waiting for cake, even the bread went. He wanted the big fish, so even the small one went. Waiz ki nasihate namani akhir. Waiz ki nasihate namani akhir. The patloon ki fikr mein to langoti bhi gayi. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اے اللہ ہم گنہگار بندے ہم بہت ہی گنہگار ہیں اے اللہ معاف کرنے والی تیری ذات ہے تو معافی کو پسند کرتا ہے اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما او اللہ forgive each and every one of us forgive our major sins our minor sins forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Oh Allah, change the conditions around the world. Oh Allah, the Muslim Ummah is suffering. We know that it is because of our sins that we are being pushed from pillar to post. That there is no dignity, there is no shame left, oh my Allah. Ay Allah, bless each and every one of us. With istiqamat in our deen, oh Allah, bless us with happiness, prosperity, contentment, satisfaction, tawakkul. Bless us with yaqeen, bless us with your marifat, bless us with such bond with you and your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Ay Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Ay Allah, assist and help the mujahideen of Islam in Palestine, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in Afghanistan. In all parts of the world, O Allah, whoever is making an effort for your deen, O Allah, assist and help them. O Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain from fitnas. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa, O my beloved Allah. Masjid al-Aqsa ki, O Allah, tu hifazat farma. O Allah, protect our masajid. Protect the masajid all over the world. O Allah, protect our deeni institutions. Protect our deeni organizations. O Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health. Ya Allah, bless us with spiritual health and physical health. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Don't let the angel of death find us in any haram action or deed. Ya Allah, let our death be in Madinah Tayyibah. Let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, Huzur-e Paak Sawsam ke Sadqe Tufail mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب